Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
And thank you for tuning into our boardroom chat. What number is it now there, Kathy?
205.
Good Lord. Praise God. We're doing good, huh?
Yeah.
We're on a roll. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Rolling.
Yeah. Keep them doggies rolling. Hallelujah. Why don't you talk about a little testimony, then we'll get into today's thing.
I love hearing your testimonies, your comments. Georgette says, good afternoon, Dr. and Pastor Duplantis. I love all the boardroom chats. I never miss watching. And I'm always blessed. Thank you so much. And
praise Kat, the Lord.
Isn't that good?
That's
Kat
good.
Says, I've been following you, Jesse, since the summer of 2022, and it has been a blessing to me. Since giving to your ministry, I have been healed, delivered, and our Father God is working in my life.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Jesse and Kathy, for everything you
That's
do.
That's a blessing.
Isn't that
praise
great?
God.
And James says, thank y'all for everything you do. It's a true blessing. I wish Brother Jesse had a big enough speaker to cover these United States when he would preach so that everyone would listen.
Praise the
God.
Lord.
They say,
I like that person.
Yeah, it says, God has got us. Believe that.
Thank you for saying that.
And
what
this,
else?
This next one from YouTube says, I love you guys. Thanks for being so consistent. I've been so set free by hearing how much you love life and enjoy this walk with God. So refreshing.
Praise God.
And then Tammy, this is the last one on this sheet today. We just grab a few, a sampling. Tammy says, I've been studying with you all since 2004.
Praise God.
That's 20 years. Thank you all for all the years of preaching and teaching the gospel.
Well, that's a blessing. That's probably
a blessing.
The best one there.
That is.
2004, man, that's a blessing. Thank you for being so courteous and kind.
And we've been out there for 48 years.
48 now. Years preaching this glorious gospel. That's what we call it. We call it glorious because by, God will change anyone that's willing to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's instead, don't make no difference what you are, what you've done. God will do it if you acknowledge your ways to Him. The Bible said He will grant you access into heaven.
Praise
God.
Paths,
and it's such a blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
The other day, Kathy was talking in our den, I call it the den, the family room, whatever. And she was talking about this particular thing. And after she finished talking about it, I know a few days passed and came back up in my mind, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So if you got a Bible or an iPad or a telephone, whichever you use for scripture, would you go with me to the book of Acts chapter 4? We're going into a scene real quickly, and that Peter, Jesus is now resurrected and ascended and at the right hand of the Father, and the disciples are going out to preach this glorious gospel. Well, naturally, you know, when you go out to preach something or do something that God wants done, it makes the devil mad. It stirs up the devil. In fact, God said, beware if people speak good of you, because if they're always speaking only good of you, then you're not stirring up the devil.
True.
See, because the word of God is a double-edged sword. One side cuts the devil, the other side cuts you. See what I'm saying? In other words, it keeps you trim and keeps the devil wounded so he can't hurt you. And that's what it's all about. So Peter and them were out preaching this gospel. And of course, naturally, it makes the church world mad. Because, you know, first thing first, now people are following Jesus' disciples like they followed Jesus, and they're full of envy and jealousy, and they don't like that.
Because they're not following them.
That's
those
right.
Other rulers.
And what happened was, through the Peter's ministry and thing, this man got instantly healed and blessed, a notable miracle that no one could deny.
Right.
Which gives evidence to the fact that what these guys are saying, these apostles, like saying the same thing Jesus said, that this is working. So I want to start with Acts chapter 4, and I want to read verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is coming from the temple. See what I'm saying? Now, this man got instantly and miraculously healed. And in verse 9, Peter says, if we this day be examined of the good deeds, well, let me go to verse 6 first. And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? That's verse 7. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Okay, I'm going to say, you people in the White House, you people in the legislature, in Congress, you people in the Supreme Court, these governments, these people with power, Then now I'm going to go back to their time, verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, all the people of the White House, all the people of Congress, Senate and the House, all the people of the courts, Supreme Court all the way down to district courts, that by the name, I go back to his time, be it known unto you, that's Peter's time, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now watch this. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 13, I'm going to read this last portion of the verse. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Ooh.
Yes.
Now watch this. This is stirring up some stuff. Sounds familiar? A lot of stuff being stirred up in today's America. Or is it America today? Something to consider. Watch this. Verse 16, saying, now they're talking here. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Does that sound like a Democrat? Does that sound like a Republican? Does that sound like an independent? And we cannot deny it. So there's a lot of things that are truth in Peter's day that they're trying to deny, and there's a lot of things that are truth today that everybody's trying to deny. Okay? I won't put that in, then I'm going to give you the subject we're talking about. Well, I like what he says in verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now, that's Peter's time. Does that sound familiar today?
Yeah, trying to control your speech.
Oh, control your speech.
Control your thoughts.
Can't say this. Always talks about it's good to have separation of church and state until it affects them. I want to talk about that in just a minute. I like
good.
What but Peter, and they called them, verse 18, and commanded, they didn't ask, commanded them they not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, verse 19, and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, if you go over to verse 29 of Acts 4, Peter and them are praying, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and granteth of thy servant that we with all bones that they may speak thy word.
Right.
Now, I want you to go over to Acts real quick, and then I'm going to get into this lesson here. Acts chapter 5. Verse 29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I read a lot of stuff here.
That's good.
I want to talk today about something Kathy was talking to me about, is there was a decree and a declaration sent by Pharaoh to the midwives of the nation of Israel, because Pharaoh said, kill every male-born child and do that now. And the midwives who were delivering these children of the nation of Israel at that time in Goshen, Moses had been born and he was hid, did not obey the decree of Pharaoh, who in that day was considered a god. I want to talk today about something we should remember, because there was a man named Martin Luther King who did the same thing as the midwives. And I'm not talking about delivering babies. I'm talking today about civil disobedience. That when people begin to say things against God's holy word, and I've heard it said that this country was not founded upon Judeo-Christian ethic. And you know, and if you want to be an atheist, you have a right to be. I mean, I have no problem with that. That's between you and God, or you and whoever you think God is or whatever. But we also have a right to say what we believe. We also have a right to say, you may make a law that is unjust. And that was what Martin Luther King was saying way back when civil rights came. He took and said, we will not put up with this no more. And I love his speech, I Have a Dream, and how he said, I want my children judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He gave his life for what he believed. That tells you he believed in something. Jesus gave his life for what he believed. That tells you Jesus believed in something. I think this, we're getting to these places where people are being attacked ferociously, and the people that should be going to jail or prosecuted are not, and the people that have not done some of the stuff they say are being prosecuted. Now, I'm not picking anybody personal, so don't get a name in your mind. I'm saying I'm seeing that happen. See, and I believe in the freedom of the press just like I do, I believe in the freedom of religion. But I wish the press would be one mind and one accord, that they can agree to disagree if you want to. The different networks and things of that nature all have their own way of saying things. But I think the news ought to be spoken by ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, all the different ones, PBS, I don't know, whatever all the networks that are out there, even though they may not like it, even though you can be an extreme left person or an extreme right person, then you might be a centrist, as they call. But I think what's happening here is that a lot of people are not taking God's word as final authority because they think it's religion, when it's not religion. It's command from a creator. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, and God gives us the right to say yes and no. And I understand that some of the founders were deists. I understand all that. But anybody with any correct mind, with a reasonable, knows without a shadow of a doubt that our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, all the different things is founded upon the word providence, which means God. Now, you can agree to disagree with that. That's fine. But what happens is, why are you attacking people that believe in that? And then you say, well, do you believe in that? Yes, I do. Why are you attacking? I'm not. I'm trying to draw a line here. Because you see, what I don't like and what I see all the time is we have forgot to be Americans. You know, I mean, my God, I got a lot of people that work for me, and there's some of them wear some stuff I would not wear. But they have a right to wear it. I probably wear some things that they may not like, but I have a right to wear it. We can agree to disagree, and a lot of time we do that, me and Kathy on clothes, she says, Jesse, that's not fashionable. That's out of style. I said, well, if we keep it long enough, Kathy,
it'll come back
in style, you know, and things of that nature. And a lot of times it has, and maybe sometimes it haven't. My point is, there's a time when you have to stand up for what's right, like the Apostle Peter. Do we serve God or do we serve men? Lord, grant us boldness. That doesn't mean we want to fight. And, you know, I think, I find it very tiring, and I'm going to say this, this year I'll be 75 years old in July. I'm very tired of such personal attacks from the Democrats, from the Republicans, from the House of Representatives, from the Senate. The ones that I like the best really is the Supreme Court, because, you know, they can agree to disagree, and they write opinions as the vote comes down. But if you noticed, they're still the Supreme Court. They stay together. They can agree to disagree. But they don't have to worry about being elected because it's a lifetime appointment. You see what I'm saying? And all the other ones that are being elected try to get people that are coming up with the Supreme Court to say something when they're going through their vetting, you call it whatever, and they refuse to do that. And I appreciate that about that third branch of government, that it keeps the courts in line when really all the other courts, all the Supreme Courts of all the different states, all the district courts, and I understand the law can be interpreted in many different ways, but there's certain things, if we found it upon the Constitution, upon the Declaration of Independence and the different wonderful documents we have, that we have a right to pursue happiness. Ladies and gentlemen, America is not happy. And I'm disturbed by that. Are you? Civil disobedience. You know, and the worst example of it all is the church. Church will attack and kill its own wounded quicker than anybody else, just like this temple trying to kill them boys. Now, Kathy, when you told me in that little discussion we were having in our family room, that the midwife said, we're not going to do that.
That's right.
And so explain kind of how the Lord was speaking to you about that.
Well, I was actually had researched, and I was doing some teaching because I had been teaching in the book of Romans, and here I came to Romans 13. And Romans 13 talks about how, in verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And that
right.
was really like...
Yes.
And people really grab... A lot of people in the church grab that verse and really just threw it out of proportion. Doesn't matter what the government restrictions come down, mandates... whether it be vaccine or who can work,
right.
whether you can even have church or not. I mean, ballrooms could be open, but churches couldn't be.
Right.
So the government was dictating what we could do. And so a lot of the churches were just bowing down. A lot of leaders,
right.
Embarrassingly, they were just bowing down to that. And because they were, quote, look, basically thought they were following Romans 13, but I was doing a research. There are a lot of different times of examples from the Bible of civil disobedience, and
but
that's what I was
telling
you.
I have to give honor to where honor is due. Our governor at that time was a Democrat, and I don't know who you talked to, whatever, but they wanted to close down some of the churches, and what they call that?
They were doing mandates, and they were saying how determining what was essential, as though the government could tell us that we're not essential. I was listening to his speech,
uh-huh.
and he was trying to give a description of what
is essential.
Who's essential? And so, and he interrupts his notes and he talks to the reporters that are in the room.
Right.
And he says, okay, in case you reporters are wondering, y'all are essential. I'm thinking, well, if a reporter is essential, definitely.
Is that because he believed in freedom of the press?
Probably,
I guess
so.
Yes.
I mean, he thought he was answering that question, you know, but I said, well, if reporters are essential, we're essential because we're getting the good news out. And so I grabbed that portion of his message and sent it out to the staff to let them know, don't be concerned about coming to work because we didn't shut anything down.
No.
And because we are definitely essential. Well, whether they did or not, we
yes.
had to do what we had to do.
We had
and
to
that's
stand
my,
up.
That's my point here. I had a point in my message, and I brought it up
Go
here because I knew you were going to talk about this. Every believer is called to be a responsible citizen by obeying the government's laws unless those laws violate God's laws. And that's what those women did, those midwives. They were not going to kill or destroy
babies.
Those babies.
Right.
So they said, well, the women of Israel are hardy and they don't need us. And,
I mean, they can have a baby like that.
But even Moses' parents, they obeyed God and hid Moses for 3 months.
Now, I want to say something to all that are watching. We're not telling you to not obey the laws of the land. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there are times.
God's law is a higher law, is what
yeah,
we're
there
saying.
There are times when you have to stand for what you believe.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
Let me give you a prime example of that. Why do we have the United States of America? Because our founding fathers decided to stand up against the most powerful nation of their day, which was England. It was an empire. Woo! And say, wait a minute, taxation without representation? That's how it all kind of started.
Not just that, religious liberties.
Religious
they couldn't
liberty,
just serve
everything.
God the way they wanted to there. So
yeah.
when they came here, that's why it was so important to establish these liberties that we enjoy as Americans.
Right.
And having a place to worship, freedom to worship, is right up there with all of the other important Bill of Rights.
Let me show you the difference between the Constitution, which is a phenomenal document, and this Bible. This Bible is the true word of God. It has no amendments to it.
That's right.
It does not need to be amended. Well, the Constitution has several amendments to it, which needed to be amended. You're never going to get everything correct, completely correct. unless you're God yourself who's writing this holy canon, because he got it all correct. Now, I don't get mad if you don't believe the way I believe on some things. You see what I'm saying? I'm just glad you're a Christian. I have had a lot of different churches, Christian churches. I mean, I never speak. I'm not against the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church. I'm just glad people are going to church. What I'm against is Satan and what I call satanic doctrines. Instead of, you know, this is what I feel. Well, this is not feeling. You know what I'm saying? What we need to do is stand up for what we believe is right. And I believe our governor then was a Democrat and a great guy. He said, y'all have a right to stay. Because I think he believed, in fact, I know he believed in separation of church and state, freedom of religion, and he believed in the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and freedom of the press, and all the different things. But what I'm saying is, you can see what's happening. There's such havoc. And I almost get irritated when people go before Congress to talk, that it becomes the people that are on the dais or whatever, they're trying to grab as much of that camera time as they can, and they try to twist the words of the person that they're talking to. And I just saw that happen. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like, and I don't know this man, he was the guy that checked President Biden's, what do they call those things, those papers that he shouldn't have had. His name is
his
Mr.
Hurt.
Classified documents. But they kept trying to change his mind. Well, then you've exonerated him. And you know, they want to get off of it. No, he said didn't exonerate him. He just told the truth. And he was backed, from what I understand, by the Attorney General of this nation. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I love back and forth. I believe in that. But I don't like it just so you can get more camera time. And everybody worried about political statement. And I believe in politics, man, because that's what runs the place. And you, if you're a Democrat, you want your person to win. If you're a Republican, you want your person to win. Then you got another guy that's getting in there, and you want the independents, they may want RFK to win. We use it in the presidential election thing. Whether you like any of them, that's not the issue. No one else had enough guts to stand up and run, and the ones that didn't make it. Okay, well, that's process of elimination. We can understand that, you see. So there's been sometimes I've looked at some candidates running and I thought, I don't like any of them, but I knew one of them was going to get the job. You see what I'm saying? Through our voting processes. And thank God for that. But I think there comes a time when I got it. And I will say this right now. If they tell me I can no longer preach in the name of Jesus, I'm going to become Apostle Peter. I'm going to say, well, I'd rather obey God than man. I'm going to preach this gospel. We will kill you. Well, okay. That's how strongly I believe in preaching this gospel. But I'm not standing in the back church of people that didn't accept what I said with a stick to knock them in the head, because you have a right to choose. And I'm so glad about that. Now, everybody knows I am pro-life. Why? Because I'm living. I mean, you know, thank God my mom was pro-life. But you know, I'm not trying to tell a woman what to do with her body. That ain't none of my business. But, and that's a big but, when you got a life that cannot speak for itself, someone's got to speak for it. So I don't consider it a medical thing. What I got to say is a moral issue. Yet, if you've had an abortion, I am not mad at you. I cannot judge you. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I would be willing enough to stand up before all persons and say, I don't believe that was right. But if that happened, that's forgivable. You know, I believe in forgiveness and mercy and grace. You see what I'm saying? But my point is this, and I'm the kind of man, if you make me mad enough, I get in your face a little bit, then I just withdraw. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's me. But when you understand that sometimes you got to use civil disobedience to make people understand what's happening. And that's what I go back to Martin Luther King or Gandhi the same way. Listen, I'm trying to wake your mind up to this, that you got to see it from both sides. I'll just say this. I was raised in the state of Louisiana. And I've had people say, have you lived in New Orleans? A person said that the other day. Have you lived in New Orleans all your life? Well, not yet. I'm still here, you know. Now, we were old-line Democrats. Okay? I'm talking about the Democratic Party way back. I'm kind of like a Reagan person. He said, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. You've heard President Reagan say that if you a man my age. Okay. And I like what they believe, but then the Democratic Party changed. Now, way back when, the Republican was the GOP, the grand old party. They don't care about nobody else. They do what we tell you. We the party behind closed doors with the cigars and the brandy. We're going to cut the deals and do all that. Y'all know it, and I know it. Okay, that's trained. Now we got in our Congress, and I'm getting a little political here, but I want to, and not being critical in them, you got, used to be a Congress, Senate, and House. Now you got centrist, left, extreme left, centrist on the Republican, extreme Republican, extreme right, all right, you know, you, and before you know, you're trying to get them all together. And that's a very hard thing to do. When I think we need, and I hope some of our senators and representatives hear this, that I hope we can come together, and if we lose something by vote, that's the nation we live in. But I mean, if you should never be mad at a person that won the presidency, whether you like one or not, if you didn't vote. But then you shouldn't try to manipulate the voting.
Right.
You see, in any way, shape, or form, that's what makes this country so great. Now, you know, I love computers, but I've never met one that did not break down. And I've never met one that couldn't be hacked into. You know it, and I know it. I got all kind of computers in this ministry, boy. You see what I'm saying? And I'm I love the technology, but I'm very irritated. I got to worry about hackers. You know, you got to spend a bunch of money to do this, to do that. And whoever thought you would need police inside of a church to stop somebody from killing somebody? That's how bad it's got, ladies and gentlemen. You see, but when God was God, and nobody worried about if you was Catholic, that you didn't go to church that Sunday. Remember, we were Christian Catholic. We were called good Catholics and bad Catholics. I was not a good Catholic, meant you only went to church on Easter and Christmas Eve, see? And yet the other people went every day, you know, they like Mass every day. And that's okay, I'm not knocking that. But when that was in order, way back when, you didn't see all this stuff. So we have really went to the left, to the right, but none of us really stayed center. And so that's what I want to talk about, that we need to stand up for what's right, not to hurt someone. But I want to tell you something. We did have a revolution because the people of America decided that what England was demanding, not asking, they could not handle. And then a war took place. And you think we should have understood that. I'm going to go a little longer today because now I'm dealing with something very sensitive. But then all of a sudden, just a few years later, we had a civil war. Now, I really believe it would anybody mind that slavery would probably be one of the worst things anybody could ever do unless you love money more than you love the person. I'm from the South. Where I live, where my home is, where this office is, if you go 2 miles, if that much, you'll run into a plantation where they kill slaves, cut their heads off, stuck them on a post as people came down from the Mississippi River. It was called the Slave Revolt. We had that. And how they caught the people that these slaves revolted and killed a bunch of white people. Man, we got a history here. Well, I live in a suburb called Destrehan. It's historical about that. But what happened was they got the slaves that did not go away, threatened to kill them, so they could find out who was the one that did it and all this kind of stuff. And it's terrible. It's one of the worst things. I wish we wouldn't have that history. But I want to tell everybody, you can't change history, but you certainly can learn from it. And as long as there was prayer in the schools, as long as that people went to church on Sunday, whether they, I don't know if they knew God in their heart or not, but they just did, it seemed like it was a much nicer place to live. Now, we've always had crime, but not what we're seeing today. I mean, how can you release someone? And you know they did it, and they've already had so much stuff against them, and then they go out and commit something they shouldn't have done. Well, somebody wants an answer. I want an answer. See, so this is what Peter was telling these high-powered church people. we'd rather obey God than men. They didn't want to do that. They just wanted to preach their message. But jealousy and envy and politics gets it. Even you said that to me, we were talking, that Pontius Pilate, what he said about Jesus.
He was talking to his team after he had offered to give the people something, someone other than Jesus, but they wanted him. They wanted Pilate to crucify him. You know, it's for envy that they want to kill him.
Yeah.
And that's what he even recognized it. Envy is a cruel thing.
Yeah, and I'm sad at how critical and mean that people come. Yet we live in a nation that believes in free speech, but not too much anymore. They're trying to close it down so they can keep power. Well, here's a great statement. We must be superior to power instead of driven by it. And I think that's what has happened in our nation. We're being driven by it. And we should not be driven by it at all. You know, when I went to school, I'm talking about as a kid from kindergarten through, elementary school, middle school, and high school, I was never mad at anybody that was Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Church of God, a Church of Christ, a Word of Faith, a Full Gospel, or Assembly of God, Mennonite, Amish. We never had that happen. We all said the Pledge of Allegiance together. Now some people don't want to say that. What makes you think, what holds this nation together? See, so what I'm saying today, there may come a time, and I hope to God it doesn't, that we'll have to stand up no matter who says what, stand for what God says if you're a God-fearing person. I'm not telling you just, you know, get out in the street and beat somebody's brains out. Not saying any of that. And vice versa. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm really concerned about America. Not that we lose our position as the greatest power or the number one power in the world. What I'm concerned about is the terrible immorality. And they see, when people have enough is enough. And let me give you an example of that. Spring break. A lot of fun, isn't it? Them college kids go slept crazy. Get in here if you just jump in. I saw something today on the news down in Miami, and Miami is nice. I mean, I've been to Miami many times. Got a wonderful pastor down there, Pastor Jerry. I just love her. She's about 89. But she looks like 39. She's such a blessing of God. She's wonderful.
Jerry Bohr.
But what happened was there was a lot of crime and a lot of junk going on. But I found out that the local community in that Miami, part of Miami, said, we want you to come. We want you to have a wonderful time, but we're not going to let you trash our city or our suburb. And all of a sudden, the local government got together, and they don't have any of that right now. And the kid said, oh, something's going to happen. Somebody had to stand up. Now, most people like it. Some of the other ones don't, because you make money on that, see? It's all about the money. They can just say what they want. That's what runs the world, see? And but they're having a nice spring break without having to tear up something. I mean, why would you say you can steal everything, you can shoplift everything up to $900, and after that, we might arrest you? I mean, come on. I remember if you shoplifted, stole something when I was a kid, your daddy would bring you to the place where you stole it and just embarrass the socks off you. That boy did wrong, and I want you to publicly apologize. You see, now, where do you think that's morality? That's asking for forgiveness. Yeah, everybody does some wrong things, but you should enjoy doing wrong things. But there's sometimes you may have to stand up for something because someone that was wrong made a law that was totally wrong, and it has to be changed. And that one was slavery. Well, let me help you. You got slavery even today. My God, man, think about all these kids. Where's all these girls and boys and children that have been sexually molested by all them people coming over? Where are these people? Why don't we care? Why not shut the border down if that's what it takes? You know, and find these people. And I personally believe this, and you may disagree with this. I think a lot of those people, probably the majority of them, that are coming across, and let's say it is illegal. Don't say it's undocumented. It's illegal. You know what it is. It's a law. I think most of them are just looking for a job. And I proved that. The other day, me and Kathy went to McDonald's. You know, Kathy wanted a quarter pounder with cheese. I said, okay. So we're sitting there, and there was one, I think three different Hispanic guys, and they were asking for a job. And I'm assuming that was the manager. He said, well, do you have documentation? No, well, you can't do that. I mean, the government will come against you because, you know, you can't do that. And I said, I wasn't afraid to be around those three men. I don't doubt they may have children and have a family. They're just trying to feed their family. But the problem is, and I've said it before, when Castro took over Cuba, he emptied his jails out, sent them to Miami. You ever seen that movie Scarface? That's a prime example of that. See what I'm saying? So that's what's happening here. So we want to keep our children protected. I would like a child to be able to ride its bicycle away from its house without worrying about being kidnapped and sexually molested. Remember those days? Remember when Jody would take her bike and go down to the park, which was about, 100 yards, 200 yards?
Yeah.
From the house, and I'd hear you say, now you get back here before it's dark or come back for lunch. Or so, and I mean, and all the other kids too, boy, they on their minds. And it was a wonderful time. That wasn't that far back. I wanted to come back to that. Can it? Yeah. It can. And we have the will to believe it. But sometime we may have to have civil disobedience. So Mr. Martin Luther King, thank you for opening up the eyes of white people. The Ku Klux Klan, whoever came up with that, watch this, and use the Bible to do that terrible stuff. That's sad. And you know, same thing with mixed marriages and things. I know I'm talking, got jumping here.
I can't find a good jumping in spot. You're doing good.
I mean, what is the color of love? There's none. I mean, when you fall in love with somebody, you fall in love with somebody. I mean, we all. Immigrants, I'm going to use Chrissy as an example. Chrissy is an Italiano, you understand? But she's married to Luis Sufuentes, which is
Hispanic.
Is what?
Guatemala.
From Guatemala. That's okay with me. If you ever met her husband, you wouldn't find a nicer man. He's a fine man, loves his family, makes pretty babies. I mean, that Sophia is good looking. And
Chrissy had something to do with it.
Yeah, and Chrissy had something to do with it too, yes. But you wouldn't find a finer man. Got a wonderful heart,
great smile.
I mean, hard worker. So I would criticize that because she's Italian and he Hispanic? No. That's ridiculous. But it all starts there. Little things. The Bible said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Jump in here if you want. I'm giving you a time.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I like everything you're saying. And, you know, it just reminds me because, you know, I don't know if you know this, but it's something that's been in the works here at the ministry. We've been planning a new program just for Jesse, and he's going to address a lot of political things. In fact, this probably could have been your first program there. We haven't actually started, but we're working on it. We don't know, your schedule's so full. But this is an important topic about civil disobedience, because sometimes people just don't know which way to go. They want to honor people. And, you know, there are a lot of good laws and a lot of great people that work in the law enforcement and all these things that help us in society. But there are some people who make a decision, whether it be the courts or the judges or district attorneys, decide not to enforce that good law.
Right.
And people suffer because of it. And I think we're reaping a lot of that. And it's time for the tide to that to turn. And this election that's coming up in November, hopefully people will send a strong signal, not just, you know, but from the president on down, all these other offices and positions that are being affected, that you would let your voice be known. And whenever, even between now and then, when something comes up that's against God's law, stand for God's law, and God will protect you.
Well, our previous governor, I was amazed. He was a Democrat and a Catholic. Got up on television, I'm talking about our local television, all over the state of Louisiana, you can tell he loves the Lord. He says this. This virus, what they call that thing there?
It was COVID.
COVID, all right. It's eating our lunch. I'm paraphrasing. We got problems. We got some of the highest people
cases.
Cases.
Number of cases.
Watch this. This is not, this is government. See, it's supposed to be separation, church and state. But when people are dying by the thousands, somebody got to say something. And he could have been probably charged. Somebody come against him about that. He said, I'm asking God to help us. I'm calling a fast.
Statewide.
Statewide. Right. Mm-hmm. I like the fell on the floor. I went, what did he say? He said, I'm calling a state,
a fast.
He said
he was going to do it. And
he was going to do it. If you'd like to join
others
me.
To join
he
me.
Said, we need God on our side to help us. Because, you know, everybody, all the doctors will just flat wore out, the nurses, you name it, people dying. You know, thinking a child goes just because of a little cough and the next few days they're gone? Or your husband or your wife? Terrible. And I thought that was such an honorable thing. You see, in a sense, that was civil disobedience because where's separation of church and state? There was no separation of church and state. They needed God. And do you know people fasted with our governor? It was a blessing. And that thing began to turn around. That's what I'm talking about. Because, see, something had to be done. Something. And let me go back to the abortion thing, and let me go back to old folks' homes. You don't send, you know, old folks, people, elderly, you know, their immune system is not where it is. You don't send people with COVID into where they are. And, man, it's like putting gasoline on a fire. She's going to explode. You don't do those things. And do you see what I'm saying? But those things did happen from what I understand. And it's sad because, you know, what about, I thought my mom and dad were safe in that place.
And they wouldn't let you even go visit.
They wouldn't let you go visit and your mom got to die by herself? Come on. Okay, let's take it back the way you think I'm trying to control your body. Maybe that baby you aborted would have been a precedent, male or female. What good they could have done? We don't know. That's what I'm saying. And I think everyone in here has got a reasonable mind to understand where we are. I preach this glorious gospel, and I hope you get saved if you're not. But if you don't, I can't do a thing about it. And let me tell you something about God. He won't force you neither. But you see, I'm an American. I may disagree with you, but if this country has to go to war, and of course, I know they wouldn't call me because I'm too old, but I can still... I could pick up a gun and stand a post.
Or you could serve in some way.
I'd do some kind of way. I would fight for you. Why? Because we're a nation. That's why I like that guy. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Yeah. Hmm. United. He didn't say all agreeing. United. Come together and let's do these things.
And, you know, I think going back to where you began... with Peter and John and the disciples that came before the court that day, the people recognized that they had been with Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And because of that, they let him go. So it makes a difference if you spend time with the Lord, no matter what you're encountering, God will give you the answer and the favor, the favor that you need.
Yeah.
In fact, when they left there, they went back to their company and they prayed for even more boldness. Now, they were bold. Now, these were the same people who at some point were hiding in a corner in an upper room because Jesus had been crucified, thinking they're going to come for them too. The 12 were, the 11 at first were in there. Thomas, of course, we know wasn't there. But
right. The
point is that they were totally radically changed when the day of Pentecost came and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So they were filled and controlled by the Holy Ghost when they were arrested, doing what they were called to do because Jesus had told them to go into all the world, preach the gospel. They were preaching the gospel. They went to the temple. They gave that, you know, man what they had, such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. This man was paralyzed, crippled for 40 years. jumping and leaping, praising God. Everybody had to take note of what had been done that day. And because of what was done, that's when they called him on the carpet, because they preached the name of Jesus, the name of the man that they had crucified. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. And so here it is, they're in this situation in the courts, and they boldly spoke as they were led by the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm just saying that to say this, that no matter what you encounter, you know, there are laws that are good laws, but if there's something that passes that you know that you have your rights, that God is calling you to make a stand, there are going to be times where you're going
to
make a stand.
You might have to.
For God and for the truth, because mm-hmm. truth is what we're talking about here today. And so he went, they prayed for even more boldness, and the Bible talks about how their other disciples prayed with them, and the place was shaken.
Yeah.
And they were filled with more boldness. So God wants to impart a new boldness, a new strength
Amen.
To His people, His church, and so that we can be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We
Amen.
Don't need to go on the attack. But when someone comes against you and you know your rights, you need to be, if you're praying in the Spirit and you're seeking God, He's going to fill you with the
Amen.
Boldness and the strength that you need. I just heard a little testimony we did. In fact, you were on Flashpoint recently, a few weeks back, and there was this young man, they had a feature story, who had put a beautiful, big American flag on the back of his truck. I think he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And the school didn't like the fact that he had a flag on the back of his truck. And they came up to him, told him, you have to take that down. And he stood up and he said, no, I'm not taking it down. And he didn't have to take it down. He already knew the law. It didn't state anything in the school book or something that they couldn't do. And then all of a sudden,
a
lot of the kids at school had a flag on the back of their vehicle, truck, or whatever.
So they said it was
and
okay.
And some they said it was okay. But, you know, sometimes you just got to stand up. And I admire that young man.
Yeah.
I think he was in Indiana. And it was so powerful to see. And, you know,
yeah.
if enough of us will stand up for the truth, they're going to quit trying to walk all over people. And so you have a right to stand up for what's right, be bold, be strong. And trust God.
Well, yeah. I look at it like this. If you like this kind of a situation, my staff is trying to get me to talk about this kind of stuff. I'll just tell you what I believe. But let me tell you something, and I mean this. What Peter said, this was 2,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they killed him, but they couldn't kill the message because
right.
I'm carrying the message. You know, I'll never forget that day when that man shot Martin Luther King, and they killed that man. But he couldn't kill that message.
That's so true.
Well, you know what? I was taught this. There was a guy way back in the founding fathers of this nation. His name was Patrick Henry. He said, give me liberty or give me death.
Mm-hmm.
He done made up his mind that he's going to live free. I want everybody to live free. I'm not asking you to accept what I preach. I wish you would. I wish the church would, but I am preaching this uncompromised word of God. So I want to say that if you like that, maybe write us a little something, see what, and then if you want us to kind of do something like that, we'll do that. And it would be a blessing. Now, let me say this and we'll close. We went longer than we normally do. Thank you, partners, for all that you do for us. Without your faithful financial support, this ministry could not exist. You know, and one time I thought I could do it all myself. I was wrong. I looked at the scripture and I said, first thing Jesus did when he started his ministry, he chose 12 guys. Well, I didn't have enough faith to choose 12. I chose Kathy. So you will be the first one. You know, I didn't have it. I ain't gonna lie. But I stepped out. You see what I'm saying? Today, a lot of people work here. It's such a blessing. And I thank you for supporting this ministry. Let me just say this. Every dollar given goes in the world of evangelism. We'd be debt-free. We'll always stay debt-free. God is so good and gracious. If you'd like to be a partner, you can just go to our website, jdm.org, and you can give that way. Hit a donate button. It'll show you how to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
You can use PayPal if you like. You can text to give if you want to, a one-time donation or a recurring one. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to our JDM app. JDM means Jesse the Plans Ministry apps, and select the giving you like doing that way.
Right.
Or you can just mail in a check the old-fashioned way through the post office to the ministry. And 100% of it goes in the world evangelism. We're certainly not perfect, by no means, but we know better than anybody else. But I'm telling you, this nation needs to go back to the morality of where it started. And you know, even back then, they did a lot of wrong things. I thought Ben Franklin, one of the smartest men, when you read some of his writing, But I found out later that his immorality wasn't too nice. You know, he was over there in France, and he had a wife that stayed here all the time. And, you know, but, you know, I'm not here to judge him. But at least he stood up to bring the nation together, and we have the United States of America. But just think if everybody, just think if adultery no longer existed. Just, you know how you do that? Snap of the finger, I'm not going to do that. Think about it, there'd be no crime. All that has to happen is the person that's going to commit a crime says, I'm not. It's a free will thing. Think about that for a minute. And I appreciate you listening to us, and I thank you for supporting this ministry. I'm sorry I went a little long on this one and everything, but we got to get in the plane and take off, man. I mean, to go preach this glorious gospel. Once again, this is Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. Hope to see you next week, okay? God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye.